Hello, friends. Welcome inside, at least for me, Ben Garrett, the Riverland Roofing Studios. The little house up top, Riverland Roofing, for all your roofing needs, 662-644-4297, riverlandroofing.com. One Brad Logan is live from Allen Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Oxford, just off the Oxford Square. We're a little bit down University Avenue, just past Kroger. I know I've been there a couple of times this summer, having to buy cars for Mason and Brian and them. And Brad is just there because Brad's everywhere. He's always on the scene. It doesn't matter if it's SEC Media Days coming up. It doesn't matter if it's with me at Evan Ingram's Foundation Youth Camp on Saturday. Buddy, if we can be there, we're going to be there. And today he's at Allen Samuels. Hey, buddy, what's up?
Not a whole lot. Obviously, staying locked into the Ole Miss spirit in the Field of On Three, because today it is a purge from the Ole Miss baseball roster. But the good news is they're headed off to the Major League Baseball ranks, and that's really cool to see. The downside, we will talk about a couple of returnees, but in large part, those players that have become drafted. So that's definitely something to monitor.
Definitely something to monitor. One big announcement today was that Dom Decker, the veteran Ole Miss second baseman who started for Ole Miss last year after transferring in from Murray State, well, he's coming back. We knew this was going to happen, but he announced it, officially announced it, saying run it back on all the socials. You got Will Furness commenting in there in his comment section on Instagram. You got Tristan Bassetta commenting as well. A big piece for Ole Miss, but certainly the MLB draft took a lot of Ole Miss's roster away, and most all of its pitching depth. So how Ole Miss is able to recover from that, that's what we're going to try to figure out here in Talk of Champions and what the roster is going to look like. But let's send it back out to Brad, who's going to talk to Mason briefly from Allen Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Oxford. Hey, Brad, you want to go ahead and take it away?
Well, one second. Mason's got a call. He's got a customer here on the floor, Ben. So we're going to bring
this
him in.
This is what he does, right?
That's when what we he does. It's really
we
busy
roll
today.
The red carpet out, you know? I roll it out, and what does Mason do? Oh, well, I got a call. He big times. Dom Decker announcing he's coming back. We all knew it was happening, but regardless, Brad, it's still – I mean, you're right. The draft took out a lot of the team. I mean, Ole Miss won 43 games last year, got back to the College World Series in Omaha for the second time since 2022, went 0-2 in Omaha. A lot of that had to do with their offensive approach, their three-true-outcome approach, and strikeouts tallied up. And I think one thing you've seen in the position player side, which is far less than the pitcher side, is a different kind of profile. Not a lot of striking out, higher double-digit walk rates amongst Blake Fields, Brady Dalemore, you name it. But getting Dom Decker back is certainly a big piece. But what the draft did was pretty much crystallize what Ole Miss has to do. And in a lot of ways, especially on the pitching side, you're pretty much starting from scratch.
There's no doubt. And I think having him back is a nice beginning piece. But now you start – you begin to think, all right, what's the rotation going to look like? But then you start thinking about what's the infield going to look like. Having Dom Decker come back, obviously, is a nice piece to that. And Ole Miss has recruited the portal really hard, so they've already got some pieces that are coming in. We've seen also Luke Romine and others have had pretty good summers in the Cape and then out in California. So those pieces will be there. But I'll have to admit, Ben, it was tough seeing all those names come off.
Yeah, and there are a lot of them. I'll go through the whole list in just a second. Started with a pair of first-rounders in Cade Townsend and Taylor Rabe. That's the first time in Ole Miss history that Ole Miss has had a pair of first-rounders in one single draft. So history was made right off the bat, and you knew those two were coming off the board. You knew that Prosek wasn't going to make it to campus. You knew that Marshan wasn't going to make it to campus. But really where Ole Miss was hit hardest in the 2026 MLB draft was in its pitching depth. Landon Koenig's gone, Will Liberts gone, and they were both drafted later still, despite where they were drafted in terms of being in the double-digit rounds. In the case of Will Liberts, he was drafted pretty early. I think it was the fifth round or something like that. Eighth round, I can't remember. It's all running together. But even those guys that you thought might have a chance, of all the guys that got taken, I'd be surprised if more than a couple at most end up coming back. We'll talk more about it. Let's go back out to Brad, who's finally gotten Mason, who decided to grace us with his presence here for Talk of Champions. Hey, guys.
Hey. I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm here with Mason, and we got a call a little bit ago. Mason's phone rang, and if you don't know, this is a very vibrant dealership here at Allen Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram. So we had to pivot just a little bit. I appreciate Ben.
Sorry about that.
Understanding that, but never apologize for about selling a vehicle, Mason. but he gave me a sheet, and all this stuff that's kind of going on. I thought, well, since I'm here, why can't he tell us about it? I know one thing is the Ram trucks is something you're excited about. One of the commercials we run is a Rebel Ram truck, but I know that you got some stuff going on.
Yeah, like it's Ram, Ram, Ram.
Yeah.
He gets all excited about that. But we're excited about Rams, too, because we have Hemis back. We have V8 motors. I told someone about 6 years ago when they were talking about, you know, all the V8s will go away. I said, have you ever seen a five-year-old kid get in a truck and you just say, oh, yeah, just give it gas, and it rumbles and growls,
yeah,
and they just start laughing and giggling? People love V8s. They just get excited. Nobody's gotten excited about a Tesla like that. They just hit it, and it goes,
yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry. But the biggest thing is right now is 12% off. Those are the rebates plus other discounts that you get off on those Ram trucks, light-duty trucks. Are 12% off on the rebates, plus more rebates, more cash to come off of there. So all we need to do is just pick out a truck. We'll sit down with you and we'll put it all together. The other thing is minivans. It's travel season. Everybody, we were talking earlier about everybody being away from church, being at the beach. It is time. If you are looking for a people mover, a good vehicle that'll haul 7-8 people, Chrysler minivans. Chrysler Pacifica is the most award-winning minivan ever. We started the segment. We own the segment. But you can buy that vehicle right now that's somewhere around $49,000 for under $40,000 today. It is a great vehicle. My wife, bless her heart, she just traded in a Grand Cherokee for another Pacifica because she likes the room. And we only have one child, and yeah, she doesn't live with us.
Hey, and I want to say this real quick. You know, I always talk about Greta. Greta rolls here. Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. But I want to say hello to David Bailey, another salesperson here, along with DeMarco Smith. Those are two people that are really rolling here as well. Yeah. So plenty of people to hear to help you. So if you come and see us here at Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram, right past Kroger on the left, Ben, this is the spot. Unfortunately, you know all too well, they've really hooked you up because you've had a lot of vehicle situations here lately.
That part hasn't been fun, but what has been fun is hanging out with Mason, hanging out with Brian. Those are my dudes, and if you need a car, a truck, a Jeep, I bought Emily a Pacifica without telling her, and she was not happy about it. So I would say before you run to Mason and get that Pacifica, first make sure that your wife is interested in a van. Otherwise, you're going to be driving out of there with a Wagoneer like I did, and that's all Mason's fault. Mason's fault. Hey, let me put a third grade teacher and a sports writer in a Wagoneer. People are like, hey, Ben, can't hide money. I'm like, bro, if you only knew, you know what I mean?
We give you good deals over here, man.
Yeah, they'll hook you up. But anyway, Ben, back to you. We appreciate Mason, Brian, the entire team.
They're the best. It's Mason and Brian over at Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Oxford, alansamuelsoxford.com. Call them 662-234-8000. At the Jeep Adventure is one of those who've made it into the chat already, went to his first Major League Baseball game over the weekend in St. Louis. The Braves are playing in St. Louis over the weekend. I'm disappointed because I almost went to that. I would have gotten to see you, my friend. I'm sorry that I missed you. He said his wife's fam had season tickets forever, and I finally made it to one. That is awesome. I wish now even more than I was already having FOMO. Even more so now that I know that a friend of the program was there as well. But the Braves went into the break 3-3, and they haven't blown their 10.5 game lead yet. So in those ways, I'm excited. I'm disappointed, however, that I didn't get to see you at the Jeep Adventure. But plenty to come here on Talk of Champions about the Major League Draft, as well as recruiting and things of that nature. You just heard from Mason over at Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Oxford. We've already told you about Riverland Roofing. Let me tell you also about our friend Drew Moak of USA Benefits Group, 601-953-8449, online with quoteswithdrew.com for all your health insurance needs. Call my guy Drew Moak, USA Benefits Group, 601-953-8449, online at quoteswithdrew.com. Now, looking at what the MLB draft did to Ole Miss baseball's roster, you're starting from scratch, essentially. Now, Hunter Elliott's a big piece, but starting from scratch, essentially, with the pitching staff. It's more than losing Cade and Taylor, who are first-rounders. You also are losing Landon Koenig. You're going to lose Will Libert. They're going to sign. From the position player standpoint, only one position player was drafted, which was kind of surprising. I thought you'd see Judd get something or Will Furness. But Austin Fawley, he's the only one. He was drafted in the 19th round, and even though it was the 19th out of 20 rounds, fully expect him to sign. So Brady Dalmore is now the transfer from TCU, is now your primary catcher. But when you think about where Ole Miss was going into the draft, how it came out, Just what is your read on the roster as we kind of break this thing down?
I think the one positive thing that I've noticed is that, you know, not a ton of players have entered the portal. And, you know, I was really bullish on Tate Sermons. I thought he was someone that could give Ole Miss some innings next year, and obviously he's entered the portal. But for the most part, they've kept the roster intact, the roster that didn't go to the major league draft. So I do think there are positives there from the field. I do think there obviously are concerns on the mound. But once again, we've seen, you know, Mike Bianco along with, you know, Mike Clement and the rest of that, Carl Lafferty and the rest of that staff and Joel Mangrum, they will field a very good roster on the mound next year. I'm not incredibly concerned. I mean, I think everybody's kind of, you know, really concerned. You're happy, but you're nervous too, and I completely understand those emotions. But if history shows us, Joel Mangrum has completely changed the dynamic on this team. I think not only from, you know, schematics, if you will, on the mound, the way this team pitches, but the recruiting and just how well he's managed this pitching staff. And Mike Bianco has not fully, you know, just gone all in about that's why the drastic change. But, I mean, I think everybody that's followed this team, you know, Mike has given kudos to Joel Mangrum very much so, and specifically the postseason when he's been asked about him. And I think Joel Mangrum is a key component of how this team and why this team is so successful last year. The development of the pitching staff, the way they recruited. We've seen pitchers, for example, Taylor Ray came out of nowhere. And I say he came out of nowhere. He really developed and really evolved throughout the season. And you know, bearing the lead maybe a little bit, but Hunter Elliott is coming back. And there's been some people that have been online doing what online people do, but I think it's only a positive. If only from a leadership standpoint, Ben, I think it's important that Hunter's coming back. And I don't know what place he will play on the roster next year. I think a lot of it depends on what Ole Miss does with its pitching staff next year in the portal. And, you know, I guess my question back to you, Ben, is what is the next step for this Ole Miss baseball team in regards to acquisition of players and develop you know, understanding, you know, where you are from a roster standpoint on the mound, what's the next step for Ole Miss?
I think one thing was clear is that, or if you aren't watching maybe on YouTube, maybe you're just listening to us in Apple Music, Spotify, whatever, you're not seeing the Ole Miss Spirit graphics or website click-through stories that I'm posting as we talk about this. You're seeing Hunter Elliott from Jake Thompson at the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, Affiliate Vol. 3. He wrote about Hunter coming back. The QR code on your screen, if you scan it as a new member, you can join us at the Ole Miss Spirit for $1. $1. Try us out and read all about this stuff. Hunter, there has been a mixed reaction of sorts, but for me it's completely different. I think, number one, with losing so much, bringing back Hunter Elliott, Ole Miss, and everyone else, I know from the Ole Miss side, but everyone else should feel the same way too. You'd rather have him than not, period. Yeah, you know, if you're going to start over almost completely from scratch with that rotation and your bullpen candidates, bring Hunter Elliott back. It's a heck of a place to start, even if he's not the same player as he was when he was winning a national championship as a freshman All-American in 2022. Sure, he doesn't have the same kind of stuff after the elbow injuries and stuff like that, but they were wiped out. Their pitching was wiped out. They knew it was going to be wiped out, hence why they went so pitcher-heavy in the NCAA transfer portal. So I was looking and kind of breaking this down at the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, Affiliate of 3. This is a story that I wrote with the same headline as you're listening to this podcast with. The MLB draft gutted Ole Miss's pitching staff. Now what? Eight of Ole Miss's top 11 or 10 pitchers from last year are gone. Now, gone. So what does the weekend look like? What does the lineup look like? Who are the bullpen candidates? The next step, well, before you get into all of that, the most obvious next step is this week Ole Miss is supposed to host, as of last week, they were supposed to host Caleb Koski, a transfer Indiana outfielder, corner outfielder, for a visit. After the results of the draft, and after if you try to put together, piece together the lineup like I did yesterday at the Ole Miss Spirit, I think it's obvious they still need a spot. They're still short on bats, even though I think a lot of their future player procurement this month was going to be about the draft. And you'd say, well, you need more arms. They've really hit on arms. They need another bat. Because, you know, Austin Folly, there was when he was falling down the board and he hadn't been selected by the 19th round, you started to go, oh, well, getting him back, Brady Dalemore could play a corner outfield a lot like Nick Fortes did. Mm-hmm. Maybe you got some position versatility with Blake Fields, this, that, the other. Only really a couple of spots. Now, with him out of the lineup, you're a bat short. Even if you've got some candidates like a Cannon Golden, a Topher Jones, Bryden Bulls had a pretty good summer. Christian Doty, freshman coming in, who was also a draft risk, keeping him a teammate of Pro Six there at Magnolia Heights in Senatobia. Getting him back could mean a lot as far as rotation mix, but to me it looks like you're a bat short. So what's next? Whether or not they bring in Caleb Koski, whether or not they commit him, they full court press him. Or if they pivot hard, say we got enough offense. I don't think they do, but we got enough offense. We don't have enough certainty in the pitching rotation. Hunter Elliott is the only known thing. You could say, well, he's not a Friday night guy anymore. I wouldn't argue with you. But who is throwing Fridays? If you take Walker Hooks, who's closing for Team USA, out of the mix, the weekend rotation mix, it gets kind of thin. You're almost completely reliant upon transfer guys. Like Charlie Foster needs to be what Will Liberate wasn't. Will Liberate opened in the starting rotation and fell out of it, had one good performance toward the end of the year. You're going to be relying on even more volatility. You don't have those returning guys. That's why losing Noah Allen, even though he threw only 9 innings, that hurt. Yeah, Ole Miss didn't lose a lot, Brad, but they lost Noah Allen, and he was going to be a weekend rotation guy. I wouldn't have been shocked if he'd have been their Saturday guy. You better hope Grayson Gibson's ready to go. You better hope Owen Kelly can give you something after you thought he was going to be a draft risk out of St. Louis. The transfer out of St. Louis, who pitched 1 year at Ole Miss, had like a 4.3-something ERA. But you're going to need Kendall Hoffman, Sean Carey, Eli Pillsbury, Charlie Foster to give you that other guy while relying on one of the others. Brent Stooks is another transfer. Like, you better be glad you got Hunter Elliott, you know?
J.P. Robertson, Ben, is he gone?
I think he's gone. Yeah. His decision,
I was kind of leaning that way, too.
Ideally, and we're getting questions about it at Caden Hamlin in the chat, what are the chances J.P. Robertson comes back? I mean, it's a complete and utter coin flip, but he's leaning go. He was leaning go going into the draft, just like Landon Cody. That's the thing. As guys were coming off the board, the draft is different than it used to be, right? Nothing surprised you, but then you didn't go, oh, well, there's a chance he comes back. It used to be 40 rounds. Now it's 20. A guy getting picked in the 27th round or getting picked in the 19th round, it's a big difference. Mm-hmm. I think all of these guys are going. I think J.P. Robertson is going. If he were to stay, oh, man, he's without a doubt one of your weekend rotation mix guys.
But I think, I think I'll follow up on what people are saying online. I agree that if you're picked in these 15, 20 round, I mean, is it fair to say there's pretty much an agreement in place for most of these athletes?
Yes, it's done. Blair Stewart, our friend from Penn State, is in the chat again. Good to see you again. He says, hey, y'all, welcome back, my friend. At Ole Miss Fan 198824 says, happy Monday, Ben and Brad. We got Elliott back. Yep, big news, and you're glad you did have him back. You do have him back because these guys that got drafted, I see all of them signing. All of them.
Yeah.
Signing and gone. That's the thing where, if Austin Folley would have not gotten drafted, it would have been pretty unprecedented to sign, even though he desperately just wanted to start his professional career. It would have been unprecedented to sign an undrafted free agent deal. You know what I mean? When you still had college eligibility. So that's when it got interesting because outside of him, and that was him not getting drafted, everyone else, if they got drafted, you knew they were going to probably sign. Even Dom Decker. Had Dom Decker gotten drafted, he probably would have signed. So I think they're all going to sign.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you didn't get any break on the lineup or the pitching side to where Ole Miss was maybe hoping going in that it would crystallize what the rest of their pursuits would be because they don't have any spots left. They made that decision with Cooper, with not Cooper, but good grief. They made that decision last week that was so Calvin Harris's little brother, Brent Harris. Forgive me, there are a lot of names all the time. They made that decision based off of limited roster spots. Crappy of a decision as it was, and the ugly side of these things, they don't have a lot of spots left. You didn't get a break or something go your way on the position or on the pitching side to where it crystallized what you should do with those remaining spots. So if they bring in Caleb Koski, they got to get another bat. I think they got to get another bat regardless. Hayden Federico could play third base, but Jason Foltz from Clemson, he's probably the leading candidate for that. So really, if you make it out like that, right field, that's exactly what Caleb Kosky can feel for you. But, like, ideally, if Austin Foley would have come back, maybe you could have pushed harder for some of the best or top remaining transfer arms to give yourself more options. It does limit them in that way. And they are a lesser team today than they were at the end of the year. Was that going to be a part of it anyway? Yes, because of what you were losing. But there's no doubt that the path to 43 wins again in the College World Series again is made harder because of what the MLB draft did to them. But you were already relying on guys like Hayden Federico, Owen Pano to be the superstars, Luke Romine, be the superstars you think and thought they were when you signed them. Hayden already performed that way toward the end of the year. Owen had a bounce back year, but still has a lot of room for growth, but cooled off toward the end of the year. Those are your superstars. And if they are playing at superstar caliber levels and Trey Halsey comes in, you know, there's a path, but it's made much more treacherous because the MLB draft did what everyone thought it would do, and that is gut their depth.
I think the silver lining in all of this is what we kind of already knew, but now we know for sure, is that you return the middle of the infield. With Owen Pano at short, Dom Decker solidifying everything by he's coming back. So having the middle infield solidified is a whole lot better than nothing. And then I agree with someone in the chat a moment ago. You'd much rather have Hunter Elliott come back than you would not. And so having that piece, both the dugout piece and the piece on the mound, is a positive. I'll ask you this, Ben. I haven't asked off the, you know, off a broadcast or anything. What is the latest with Braden Randall? Is there a door open for him to return? I mean, I haven't seen anything about him going anywhere else other than he entered the portal. So I don't know if that's something Ole Miss would entertain, is to have Braden Randall back.
I don't know if that's something they'd entertain either. I don't know. I haven't heard anything. I mean,
I just haven't seen where he's went anywhere or committed anywhere.
The only pushback to that is he would be having the same role he had this year, and I know he doesn't want that. Like, he would have been the super utility guy. Yeah, if you don't land another bat like Caleb Kosky, you decide not to push, or he ends up going somewhere else. And you got to start somebody in right field. Well, yeah, Braden can start there to start, but he ain't going to end there.
Yeah.
If you get underperformance again from Owen Pano, he slides back into short. It's like Jason Foltz. Did you see his stats for Clemson? Yeah, the strikeout walk rates are what you want, but, I mean, hitting for average and pop, I mean, he's still a work in progress. If he's not, imagine if Ole Miss went into the year. If you look at the projected lineup, and let's look at the projected lineup one more time, okay? And this is purely mine. If I'm missing something, and you can check it out at the Ole Miss Spirit, olemissspirit.com, Philly 1-3, let me know. If I'm missing someone or somebody, let me know. But I was looking at lineup candidates. Look how thin that bench is. And granted, there are going to be guys that didn't play a lot, that emerged, and all these things have, like, returning guys. But, like, I forgot when I put this together, I initially included Tate Sermons. I was like, thank goodness Tate Sermons is still here because of his utility value. He's off to Georgia Southern.
Yeah.
Imagine last year in projecting the lineup, and maybe you thought that this was the case anyway, that Daniel Pacella had to be good. That's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at a lineup like Brady Dalemore has to be good immediately. Trey Halsey has to be good immediately. Jason Foltz, Blake Fields, you've got to offer something, because if one of those guys, let alone multiple of those guys, aren't what you recruited and signed them to be out of the portal, you don't have a lot of options on paper that I can see to match 43 wins and get back to the College World Series. The best part of the only real silver lining is that Hunter is back. And you will always take Hunter Elliott back if you can get him. And especially this year when you have question marks all behind him. It's funny that, like, the most sure things about this lineup and this rotation, this pitching staff for next year, are transfer guys when they are a volatile group every single year. Will Libert didn't last. Daniel Pacella didn't ever work, right? And so you see where Ole Miss has not necessarily lowered its ceiling so much as really lowered its floor if things don't work out. But it's no fault of their own. These things are cyclical, especially with baseball rosters. And I have full faith in Joel Mangrum to get good pitching out of, like, Ole Miss made history this year, y'all. Ole Miss had two first round picks. Everyone always said, man, what if Doug and Gunnar Hoglund had been in the same rotation? You kind of got a little of it with Taylor Rabe and Gay Townsend.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that you got a preview what it could have been. I think maybe Doug and Gunnar could have gone a little further than 0-2 in Omaha, but point stands. The pitching staff, I know that that Joel Mangrum in his multiple years here is going to put it together and figure it out. I just don't know offensively if they have one enough. And, like, what's the answer if any one or two of these transfer guys give you what Daniel Pacella gave you, right? Like, not everybody's going to be Tristan Bassetta.
I think they're going to need Cannon Golden and Topher Jones to be big, big components of the team.
Yeah.
We saw them have opportunities this year. I specifically remember Topher Jones getting a pinch hit opportunity and ripping a double down the left field line, a big hit at the time. I don't remember what game it was, but they're going to need those two players to be big-time players for this team. And I don't know what positions on the field they'll play. I mean, they've got to figure out the left and right field. If Hayden Federico is going to be your center fielder, which, once again, I should have said the middle infield and Hayden Federico, those key components of the team returning. But I'm really leaning into hard to what you're saying, Ben, and I agree that what makes me really nervous about this team is the depth part of it. Not necessarily just from a pitching staff, but it appears to be really thin right now just from a roster makeup standpoint of, like you said, last year you were hoping – Pacella would work out, but if he didn't, you could kind of maybe look for a Bassetta or some. This way, you're really needing those transfers to come in and be big time players, and there's really no wiggle room right now. We understand that roster is going to change; they're going to add players to that roster, but the wiggle room that they had last year does not necessarily exist for the wiggle room they had now.
Yeah. At Ole Miss Fan 198824, did Will Furness get drafted? He didn't. It was his final year. I hope he signs on and he has a career. Mm-hmm. Same with Judd, man. Bet the best people, and they deserve an opportunity. We haven't seen Braden Randall commit anywhere. Caden Hamlin, here's a rumor Randall was quitting baseball. I can't speak to the veracity of that. Would Ole Miss entertain bringing him back if he's comfortable with the role he had as a utility guy? And that's why he left. It was interesting to come out of the gate so hot. He hit .468 in the postseason, and to come out of the transfer portal gate so hot with setting up visits with State and Tennessee, and then nothing. Yeah. I don't know what Braden Randall's going to do, but obviously he would have provided the depth, more depth that Ole Miss potentially needs, having lost so much. It's tough. Any update on Mosley? Brett Mosley. Brett Mosley got into the portal. I hadn't heard anything on Brett either. I think what I'm most paying attention to right now in terms of what the roster and pieces to add after the draft zapped them up, Caleb Koski. Mm-hmm. Would you rather have Brett Mosley in year two or Caleb Koski, who's coming off of a breakout year in Indiana? I mean, it's pretty telling that Tate Sermons ended up at Georgia Southern. You know what I mean? Like, don't overvalue what you had just because of need.
You know, Brett Mosley had some opportunities this year and just wasn't able to get over the hump. But I don't think they're ready to just sell him out in the sunset. I mean, there are a lot of players that it's taken a year or two to acclimate to the program. And Brett Mosley's definitely a piece that I think Ole Miss needs to be successful. Once again, I just kind of fall back on you're putting a lot of stock in a small group of players. For last year, it felt like that group of players was a lot larger than it
is. Yeah, and Mosley's in the portal. He's in the portal last we checked. I mean, and I haven't seen him get out. Is Sipla back? Yes, but he was injured all year. He could be a piece in the back end. Could use a few bats. Topher will make a big jump this year. Like, you're going to see somebody step up. It has to happen. Otherwise, you're going to bottom out. Topher Jones, I could buy that with the bat. Luke Romine flashed at the end of the year. I didn't put Luke Romine in there because, we just needed somebody to put in the DH spot. Like, they love that bat and what it could potentially be. It's just a more volatile roster in one of those transitional years. But I do like the collection of arms. I feel like they're a little still short on the roster end, lineup-wise and depth-wise with those pieces. But there's no doubt that the MLB draft took its pound of flesh. At Nate, go 4-3. Sorry if I missed it, but what about Folly? Draft from the 19th, he's going to sign. I would be surprised if he didn't sign.
I would too. Ben, real quick before we get out of baseball – just kind of looking around the league and kind of perusing the different boards on three, is Ole Miss an anomaly or other programs dealing with a substantial loss like this as well?
Well, it's not unique to Ole Miss per se, but has Ole Miss been hit particularly hard this year? And it seems more frequent with Ole Miss, mainly because we're in it every single day. But what Jay Johnson's doing down there at LSU is impressive. And the money that they're, you know, they're raising money all over the place to try to get NIL, but they ain't lacking in it. You know, they're bringing back seven guys. They signed seven perfect game top prospects, and they're bringing them all to campus while Ole Miss is bringing one. You know, there is something to that. But also it's a testament to, like, I think what Ole Miss think about what Ole Miss lost. All right. Kate Townsend, Taylor Rapp, going into last year, everyone thought that Taylor Rapp could be something, but look what he turned into is my point. It's like, who's to say Grayson Gibson isn't that guy? I give a lot of credit to Joel Mangrum and knowing, and like when you have 11 or however many dudes it was drafted and all but one of them are pitching, like I'm not worried about that side, even though it's going to be all new except for Hunter Elliott. Like I can't wait to see what Joel Mangrum can get out of Maverick Rizzi. And that 6'7" to 6'8" frame and that tunnel that he throws down from, Charlie Wilcox, Charlie Foster, there's enough arms there that Joel Mangrum will figure it out. All right. Think about where Will McCausland was in like Ole Miss lost Will McCausland this time last year in the draft. They're like, oh my gosh, that was one that would have been so big for this year. How are you going to replace Will McCausland? Look what Joel Mangrum turned him into. And they did. They did. Right. And they found the next guy. Even if they weren't exactly what Ole Miss needed them to be, like Will Libert, they still figured it out. Like Joel Mangrum put it together. Taylor Rabe took over for him. He broke out under. So I'm not worried about the pitching side, even though you would like to have some more sure things. But let's stop pretending like Ole Miss had a bunch of sure things going into last year.
True.
It's pretty regular this year. This what's hard is that, you know what's abnormal? Having Judd Utomark for 4 years. Having Will Furness for 4 years. You know what I mean? Like, that's the part that's wild. So there's some give and take with that, right? I mean, there's some give and take with that. But there's no doubt LSU and Jay Johnson are doing it a little different. But they also just missed the NCAA tournament completely after winning the title.
And so, this is not making excuses for Ole Miss and the staff at all, but it's completely different situations. They're coaching for their job down there. The staff at Ole Miss is not.
Now, all right, at VUJNOG. Actually, I don't think Jay Johnson is coaching for his job either, but like there's a little bit more.
Well, they're not going to put up missing the tournament of all things at LSU very long.
Dumb question, but still going to ask. Y'all think baseball or basketball will perform better next year? Is that perform better against the expectations for them? Because if they get Mojave King, this basketball team becomes a lot more interesting. I still say baseball is going to have a better year. I think baseball will still put it together and have.
That's tough. I mean, you know, Preston's asking that question when Ole Miss is getting smoked by the Major League Draft. So I mean, there's a lot that's gotta happen on the diamond. I do feel better, honestly, with the basketball program because of you know, we had a chance to be with Chris Beard a couple weeks ago with him in 101, and I hate to do this, but it's almost like you feel like he likes the roster, you know.
He loved that roster last year.
Why I'm being a little tentative by saying that, because he liked the roster last year. But you can't help but appreciate the enthusiasm he has for the roster this year, because it's got a lot of names that we haven't seen before. It's a lot of unknowns. And so while the Ole Miss baseball program has a lot of unknowns, the Ole Miss basketball program has unknowns, but they actually have players. Well, the baseball team's got some wiggle room. They've got some roster management to go. So that's a tough, tough question right now.
Well, all right. Well, at VUJNOG said against expectations, right? So if who's going to be better against expectations? Well, basketball expectations are in the toilet. Baseball expectations are at least make an NCAA regional, host one ideally. And I think this roster is potentially good enough to do it. It's still incomplete, and I really look forward to covering the crap out of fall ball this year. Like, this is going to be a very interesting fall ball.
Probably one of the bigger fall balls that we've seen in a long,
recently.
Long time.
Yeah. So, like, I look forward to watching that. And that. So, against expectations in framing it that way, I'd go basketball. But my expectations for basketball, especially after what we thought it was going to be last year, are again – absolutely in the toilet. This is Talk of Champions. I'm Ben Garrett at Spirit Ben on Twitter. He's Brad Logan at Brad Logan TOC. If you haven't already, subscribe, rate, review Talk of Champions wherever you get your podcasts, in Spotify, Apple Music, wherever. Find us, Talk of Champions, and leave a 5-star review. Say whatever you want to say. Just make sure it's 5 stars. That QR code above Brad's head is for the Ole Miss Spirit. OMSpirit.com, an affiliate of On3. You can sign up and join us as a new member today for $1 for 5 days before it switches to an annual sub. $1 to try us out at the Ole Miss Spirit. All you got to do is scan that QR code above Brad's head and give us a shot. That's how you can help Brad and I the most in terms of continuing to build Talk of Champions and help us bring you the best possible coverage we can of Ole Miss Sports, which will include very, very soon live on the scene from SEC Media Days. We got a lot of football stuff to talk about coming up, but first let's hear from a couple of our sponsors. This is Talk of Champions. As I cue this up, and let's see if I can do it right. This is Talk of Champions.
Anybody who's ever tried to book a hotel room in Oxford, Mississippi for an SEC weekend knows how quickly travel costs can add up. And honestly, the same thing applies for family vacations, beach trips, music festivals, or even getting away for a few days. That's why Outdoorsy is such a cool option. Outdoorsy is the most trusted RV rental marketplace in the country. And they make it incredibly easy to rent an RV or camper without actually owning one. There are thousands of options nationwide, many of them right in your own neighborhood, and you've got choices. You can drive it yourself, tow it, or my favorite option, have it delivered and fully set up at your destination. Plus, there's built-in peace of mind with comprehensive insurance, 24/7 customer support, and roadside assistance included. And especially for families or larger groups, it can often be more affordable than booking multiple hotel rooms. Whether you're planning the ultimate Ole Miss tailgate, a family vacation, or just looking to turn the drive into part of the adventure, Outdoorsy is worth checking out. Talk of Champions listeners can get all service fees removed from their booking in 2026 with code TOC at Outdoorsy.com. That's Outdoorsy, OUTDOORSY.com. And use my promo code TOC for Talk of Champions at checkout to remove service fees. That's Outdoorsy, a proud sponsor of Talk of Champions.
One thing I've realized covering Ole Miss is I'm almost always on the move. Whether it's football camps, SEC media days coming up, baseball or basketball, I'm living out of my truck half the summer. That's one reason I've become such a fan of Quince. I've been wearing their linen shirts a lot lately because they're lightweight, breathable, and comfortable enough to wear all day, whether I'm outside covering recruiting or sitting down to record Talk of Champions. They just work. I also like that Quince cuts out the middlemen, so you're getting really high-quality clothing without paying luxury brand prices. Make your summer wardrobe easier. Go to quince.com/TOC for Talk of Champions. Quince.com/TOC for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's Quince, Quince.com/TOC for free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/TOC.
One thing I've learned over the years doing this job is that you never really know what somebody else is carrying. We spend a lot of time talking football, recruiting, and Ole Miss. But life's a lot bigger than sports. Everybody goes through seasons where they need somebody to talk to. That's one reason I found BetterHelp's latest State of Stigma report interesting. BetterHelp's 2026 State of Stigma report surveyed 2,000 Americans and revealed that 85% of Americans believe getting support is wise. Yet 74% say society discourages people from doing so. It's kind of a reminder that even though we've gotten better about talking about mental health, asking for help can still be difficult. If somebody in your life is struggling, don't be afraid to encourage them to talk to someone. Sometimes having that conversation is the hardest step. Don't let stigma stand in the way of support. Start therapy with BetterHelp. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com.
Homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
We'll be right back. Rebels, your truck is here. Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Oxford presents the all-new Ram Rebel. It's Ram, the Rebel way. Send an unmistakable signal. Rebel, 24/7. Ram Rebel, from your friend in the car business. Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Oxford.
Come by, let's be friends. I'm Warrior Philip Hearn. Raising my family here in Mississippi, I've tried to teach my kids to help others. I learned that from my parents. And as a Mississippi lawyer, I want to help you too. If you're hurt in a traffic accident, 18-wheeler wreck, or have insurance trouble, call 601-720-3541. That's my cell. You call, I'll answer. Let's get started. Make your first call to the Hearn Law Firm today.
Our thanks to the Hearn Law Firm and all those who make everything here possible for us at Talk of Champions, including Shed Hunger of Modern Woodmen of America, who can help you plan for life using a variety of tools, including life insurance, annuities, mutual funds, and variable annuities. Call him today at 662-442-4723. That's Shed Hunger of Modern Woodmen of America, 662-442-4723. He's Brad Logan. I'm Ben Garrett. This is Talk of Champions. Ole Miss is still pounding away, doing its best to stay in the fight for one David Gabriel George. Here's the question. What happens if on July 22nd, as we expect, he goes to one of Ohio State or Tennessee? Well, some interesting stuff happened over the weekend. Trey Martin, the former four-star, or not the former, just a four-star running back that Ole Miss has been on for a while, tweeted out or Instagrammed out a picture of him. He's committed to LSU in Ole Miss gear with Frank Wilson. And he's one that we had talked about Ole Miss was getting serious about back in June. And then the tide turned pretty quickly and he flipped and ended up Ole Miss's or going LSU's way. I could see Ole Miss pivoting hard to him. We've talked about potentially pivoting hard to Ty Keyes of DGG, which is we expect him to do, pick somebody other than Ole Miss on July 22nd. He told Chris Lowe today in a very interesting, long, long article on the Ole Miss Spirit. You can find it on the front page. Scan that QR code for a dollar and join us. Talking about his journey, talking about his process, how his aunt has really handled the NIL side. He's just tried to enjoy the process for what it is. Had great things to say about Ole Miss, but it looks like Ole Miss is probably going to fall short. But he also said he's still battling his decision. So maybe Ole Miss pulls off the upset here, even though they made a real move after his visit in June. But if he does, if they don't, Trey Martin seems like an obvious pivot, and it looks like Ole Miss is already doing that work. What Ole Miss has done so far, this has been historic. Today, unfortunately, On3 updated its rankings. And in the case of Ole Miss, one player, they had 14, a record 14 blue chip commitments. Now it's only 13 because Marvin and Getsup lost a star and dropped to a 3-star. Their national rank is now 15th from 14th. They got 22 commitments, got 3 spots left. Your most recent commitment was Cooper Johnson. Did I say his name right? I don't want to butcher names. It's Colton Johnson.
We don't have enough time to go down the rabbit hole, and I'm not.
I knew you were going to stop me for it, though.
But, and I guess we need to ask Zach. Zach will be on the show this. What happened to cause that? Other than, I mean, what's the justification for that?
Well, here's the thing. Before we do the whole, well, this is what happens because you're committed to Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Before we
I'm
do,
not trying, that, I'm not going there.
There was an update from my guy CJ who covers LSU, who is in the chat a lot of times when we do a live show. In the latest On3 Rivals update, LSU no longer has a single – has no 5-stars, 5 4-stars, and 11 3-stars. So this isn't – like Ole Miss didn't get, comparatively, hit nearly as hard as some. So what went into the Marvin and Getsup dropping, losing a star, going from a 4 to a 3? I don't think it was any conspiratorial stuff. I think this was just a full-on re-ranking. It's been months without a re-ranking. They probably went back over the experts, the Cody Belairs and Chad Simmonses and all those guys. They did what they do. They got in there and they did the re-rankings. All right, now that we've seen all the camp stuff, we've seen all the performance of last year in the spring, recruiting, offers in and out. Do I agree with it? No. But am I covering it like they are? No. So while Marvin and Getsup, I would love the justification for it because I look at 6'7", 270 and go, how can you coach that? I don't think this is one of those times. You know what I mean? Especially when I see what happened to LSU, which is like the gif of Dave Chappelle from Saturday Night Live. And it's like, you hate to see it, but more than that, you love to see it. You know what I mean? You love because LSU fans are pretty pissed off.
And I think one thing, I don't think
this one is because of the logo, like Sawyer's saying in the chat. Like, I don't think this one is because of the logo. And I'm one of those that is about the logo criticism.
And it could be a situation where a couple of players just jumped him. It wasn't necessarily of him being dropped. It was more or less a couple people were jumped. I know Notre Dame, I saw earlier today, I was digging through some stuff, and, you know, they're really high up there, but, you know, whatever. I want to say this about running back. You talked about DGG. If you remember the Ole Miss Spirit and affiliate of On3 at omspirit.com, you've already seen this, and I won't give the whole post away, update from Chuck Roundsville away. But I will point out one thing from Chuck's things that he's learned and some players that he's going to be looking for. One thing I will tell everybody to kind of whet your appetite is a lot's being made out of Mekhi Frazier, the junior transfer running back. I think Michigan State, Ben?
Yes.
And everything that he's hearing is that he looks really, really good. And I don't know that he'd be number two to Kuwon Lacy, but I think he'd be very much up there. Once again, Shekhi Mills Knight, you're kind of, I don't want to say waiting for the light to come on, but you kind of are with him. I think Joshua Dye is going to be a piece that we need to watch. And I think the running back room, on top of Kuwon Lacy coming back and the running ability of Trinidad Chambliss, is one of the more buttoned up rooms on staff. And so anytime you've got a running back like a Kuwon Lacy on staff, and as good as he is, and not to mention the coaching staff surrounding them, I think that says a lot about where that room is.
Yeah, here's one thing that needs to be made clear about this class, the 2027 class, and how far they are down the road with it. 22 commitments mean they've got three or four spots left open. Have they hit all their needs? Yeah. Once Colton Johnson committed, they got their tight end. Check that off. Running back has been a luxury for them the entire time. They can make big swings and take big swings like DGG, because they have they're in a really good place with their running backs. Kuwon is obviously the best running back, one of the best running backs in all of college football, but they like what they did in the portal. They love Mekhi Frazier. They think he could be a year with Kuwon, a nice thunder and lightning, and then the next year potentially be the lead guy. They still have the portal options as well. Joshua Dye they like. Shekhi Mills Knight is someone they've believed in for a couple of years. It might be his time to finally do something. He's going to have to come a long way. JT Lindsey, you might as well think of him as a true freshman. He didn't play at all last year for LSU. So, like, he's completely unproven. They've got two four-star 2026 signees at running back on campus as well. So running back has always been a luxury for Ole Miss in this class. The fact that they're in July and can focus on that luxury is what's the most important thing. And if DGG goes where we expect him to, which is anywhere but Ole Miss, so Ohio State or Tennessee on July 22nd, don't be surprised if and when it's already happening, Ole Miss pivots hard to Trey Martin. LSU has multiple running backs committed for this class. He's a Louisiana kid, Franklin Parrish in Winsboro, number 161, number 10 running back in the country. They haven't let off the gas here, and this is one that makes a lot of sense in terms of potential pivots. But I did think it was noticeable, like, You have Marvin and Getsup drop a star, and yet you still have a program record 13 blue chippers. They keep dropping it, then we'll have a problem here. But then you could add a Trey Martin to it. It just shows you the depth and the quality of the class, which hasn't changed at all despite the re-rankings today, and knowing you're probably not going to get DGG on July 22nd. Like, if you end up with Trey Martin, that's a dang good consolation prize. I mean, that's better than I thought they'd do. You know what I mean? Yeah, honestly, I thought Trey Martin, I was kind of writing him off, because it was hot there in July or June, and then he ends up committing to LSU.
And kind of following up on this, and to make sure people understand kind of what you were saying, is Trey Martin posted on Instagram, I think it was Friday or Saturday, and it was with Ole Miss running back coach Frank Wilson, who is very entrenched in the state of Louisiana, that's doing a really good job recruiting the Pelican State. So you look at Trey Martin, definitely a piece that Ole Miss is really eyeing on. And from everything that we've seen, DGG, if you've heard Zach Berry, you've heard Ben, they're really kind of saying that there's a chance that he kind of leans Ohio State right now. So if Ole Miss can't pivot from him and put all of their resources towards Trey Martin. I think that would be a heck of a road for Ole Miss to go down because they've recruited at a very high level. Once again, I'm not going into the weeds about why the young man dropped from a 4 to a 3. That's another story for another day. But I do believe that Trey Martin is a legit option for Ole Miss at running back. And if I'm going by what Zach Berry has said, he is a really good running back and be a huge piece of this class.
And Zach and I talk about Ole Miss football recruiting all day, every day at the Ole Miss Spirits. The QR code above Brad's head, scan it today. Try us out for $1. A couple of questions from the chat before we jump to some SEC Media Day stuff and wrap this thing up. At Nate Goforth, will you guys be at the Rebel Road Trip in Memphis? I was thinking about it. I was thinking about making the quick drive up and go see my twin brother, Steven, and make the stop. So there's a better chance than not that, yes, one of us, me, we'll be at the Rebel Road Trip in Memphis. We'll see how it plays out. Who was the name that you said, Ben, that basketball might get? Well, they've already gotten one of the two that we've been previewing at the Ole Miss Spirit for a while now in Ben Henshaw. He's an Australian pro basketball player who is signed. He's on campus. He's here. But Mojave King is the other piece of that. They've got 13 players on their roster currently. Last year they had 16. He would make 14, and that's where they'd stop. If he doesn't show up because of that ruling in May that essentially the NCAA is trying to be harder on former pro, be stricter on former pros playing college basketball, that could throw a wrench in things, and maybe they pivot to other places and add some more bodies. But right now it's just waiting on Mojave King, which any day now you could hear something. So Mojave King, he was drafted by the Los Angeles Lakers in 2020. I can't remember. Got traded that night, draft rights to the Indiana Pacers. He played in the G League. Now he's in Australian basketball. And that also, the additions of him and of King potentially, and also Henshaw is already on campus, that should help solve one of those at least open assistant spots that they have. The question at my guy Eric Jernigan, at J.E. Jernigan, the question is, will they get re-ranked, all those players, in NCAA 27? Let's hope so. I still hadn't played NCAA 27. We've got a Discord started. Go search for it. It's the Ole Miss Spirit Discord. We're going to start an online dynasty all playing together. I'll be in it. We'll do some live streaming of it. Y'all are going to beat my butts. I haven't started playing the game yet because all of the microtransaction stuff really turned me off for a little while, and I'm kind of dipping my feet in, but I'm just still got that bad taste in my mouth. So y'all keep hyping me up. Y'all join the Discord. Read about it more on the Ole Miss Spirit. And let's play. Let's play.
Did EA Sports push back on that?
Yeah, they've changed. I haven't gotten into it, but apparently they did change it in offline dynasties and Road to Glory, which is what matters to me because those are the ones I play the most. At John Carter 5535, we probably don't end up with him, but it would be pretty awesome to end up with Benny Easter. I agree. I don't think they end up with him either, but he'd be a big get as well. Don't sleep on Alvin Mosley and Miguel Whitley, though. Those are two 4-star wide receivers that they like a lot. It was interesting catching up briefly with Horatio Fields at Evan Ingram's deal that Brad and I went to on Saturday and asked him some stuff. And one thing that stuck out to me, Caleb Cunningham, he's taking him under his wing. Gosh, let's hope so. Because, they need that kid to come along. It's hard to say we got everything we need and we're fine, but history tells you you're probably not going to have every single player stay. Hope for the best, but expect the worst, of course. Of course, that's typically the attitude you take with these kind of things. I expect nothing but great things from Brad at SEC Media Days. When are you heading down there? Jake's going to be there too. Zach Berry's going to be there for Ole Miss's Day. I'm going to be the man in the chair. I volunteer as tribute. So, we can't have all four of us down there. Somebody's got to be in here bringing the stuff to everybody. So when are you heading down?
We'll have jam-packed shows Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. I'll be there all 3 days. Tuesday, we'll have an evening show, kind of getting things kicked off. When we're not live with you guys, I'll be going around getting interviews and getting as much information as I can. Obviously, the big show will be Wednesday. That'll be Ole Miss's Day. We'll bring you full coverage of all the video and audio that we have. We'll visit with Jake. We'll visit with Zach. We'll have everybody on. And we're doing our best to try to get some people with Ole Miss live on location. So we'll see how it goes, but we'll have as many people as we will have on, but I'll be there 3 days. So excited. We'll have full coverage for you from Tampa and I'm interested. I've never been to Media Day in Tampa. They've never had it there before. So I don't know what the setup will be, but we'll have a table. We'll have the whole setup. And so we'll be ready to roll. One thing I want to get to before we get too far. Yeah. I want to see if I can get Lane on. I think that's what somebody said. Yeah. This is a good point. I want to kind of talk about this for a second before we move forward. Eric Oh, yeah, there's Sawyer.
Well, see, because Sawyer, I can already hear, like, Ben, why didn't you go to media days? And it's not going to be sufficient for anybody because I had three of the four guys I work with go down there and we have to do a job. So now, like, I won't get to stand up in the big room, but maybe, like, Lane might do it. He might. Here's what I want you to do. I'm going to get this on the record for us, okay? Because this is what I do at media days, all right? Like, last year we had Mark Henry on the podcast. You know what I mean? Because he was just there, and I went, Mark Henry, come be on my podcast. He's like, okay, and it happened. Just make sure to ask everybody. The worst thing you get told is no. Okay.
Yeah, no.
So, Josh Pate, I want JP on here. My guy JD Pickle better get his butt on here. Okay, if he doesn't, you let me know. I'll drive down to Tampa in a day and make some raise some hay. But, like, Paul Feinbaum, all of them. I want as many people that are willing to come and talk to us, and it can only be for like 5 to 10 minutes, as possible. And Lane might do it. He might.
Why? I'm going to ask. That's what I was going to say. I'm for everybody on here asking. Yes, we are going to effort Lane Kiffin to be on our podcast.
Yes, because like I'm sorry that I can't be there to, you know, because and you know they'd have made a big production out of it. You know, like, oh wait, that's the guy that did the thing.
Yeah.
You know, but disappointed as I am. Brad and Jake and Zach are all going. Somebody has to sit their butt at home and do the grunt work. And I'm happy to do it because I love Talk of Champions and I've done media days. But dang it, I wish I was there. So, like Sawyer said, shoot or shoot. So you better be taking all kinds of shots. And Dakota doesn't want my guy JD Pickle on that. That's fine. The Pickle, I should say. I always mess up his last name. My guy JD Pickle. All right, that's fine. We've got Texas guys we can get on here. We've got Texas A&M. Make sure to go holler at my Texas guys. You know what I mean? Like, there's plenty of people. And Brad is not going to be shy. That's what I'm making sure of. You're not going to be shy. You're going to go.
I've never been shy about being told no. The wrong line of work.
At VU, that a boy. At VUJNOG, Trin, Keywan, and who else would represent us are just those two. And that old meme says hearing Perkins will be the third rebel at Media Days. That would surprise me. Yeah. But it would surprise me because I know Perk hates media stuff. And that is like the peak media thing. Think of who Ole Miss took last year. Austin Simmons, TJ Dotter, and Caden Lee. Not a one of them are back. No. Not a one. I mean, I hung around with Caden. I took some pictures for the guy. TJ Bulldottery was great. Not a one came back this year. It's going to be Trinidad, Keywan, and William Eccles. It seems like the most slam dunk picks ever, especially if now Perk makes sense, but I just know Perk absolutely hates doing this stuff.
William Eccles would be really good though.
That's what I'm saying.
Cam Franklin would be good.
I'm saying. And I think that William Eccles has earned that. He's earned that. Like he should get a chance to go and sit there with Trinidad and Keywan, but Cam's earned it too. I'm not knocking that, but I'm excited for media days. I wish I was going. I'm having bad FOMO and it's Monday. It's Monday. Now, what did you want to say before, you know, what were you getting to?
I want to go up here and address a question that Eric said. It feels like here's what the question was. It feels like the last decade that running backs are not the crown jewel recruiting like it used to be. And here's my thing. I agree. Now, Ben, it's all about left and right tackle because that's the ones that you talk about the big, in my opinion, obviously it's quarterbacks, and I get that. But to me, it's all about that left and right tackle. So, Eric, in large part, I agree with you. Although Ole Miss would like to hit the home run with DGG, I think there are other options out there, Martin being the number one option that they could flip from LSU. I say could. Obviously put the biggest emphasis forward to flip him. But with Frank Wilson involved, I do think that could be a good option. But, yeah, I just wanted to call out Eric's question because I agree with him. I think – that running back is not necessarily what it was viewed as it used to be.
That's DGG. Yeah, you break the bank. If the kid wants it, Ole Miss is willing to give him whatever he wants money-wise. You know what I mean? Like, look at that. This is from Chris Lowe. This is his comparison. Look, that's Herschel Walker.
Yeah.
This is David Gabriel George. Good Lord. He's the guy you break the bank for. I don't think they're going to get him, but, man, it would just be – and y'all are right. Running backs have been devalued across all levels in football. Having said that, so like I don't mind Ole Miss not paying what DGZ is going to get, which is historic. All right, I get that piece of it. Having said that, he's the kind you do pay it for. And there's a good, there's just as much chance, and maybe Ole Miss and Tennessee, Ohio State, whoever, there's only going to be one winner. And I promise you, the two that don't make it, they're still going to recruit that kid to the end of it. And into next year, if he's not getting the carries he wants, who do you think is going to pop up first as, oh, well, watch out for so-and-so and so-and-so in the portal?
Yeah.
Happened with Kiwon. Kiwon got in right after he transferred from Missouri. Within hours, he was transferring to Ole Miss. I love Jed Fish coming out and straight up saying, yeah, Damon Williams was offered $2 million to go somewhere else. He wouldn't name him because Jed knows that you don't go full Dabo. Because everybody's hands are dirty with this, quote, tampering stuff. The issue is not who all's tampering, everybody's tampering. The issue is that no one who's supposed to be doing something about it is doing something about it, right? So in football, a guy that you would have killed to get out of high school like Kiwon, you get at a lower rate, he breaks out. You see what I'm saying? Like, I get the whole money piece of it and not worrying about that end. I'm saying that even with that possibility still being there, they're still going to look for whoever's the best available in the portal. If you can get Trey Martin to add to this mix as your, quote, consolation prize in any other recruiting class, he's the best running back you're signing. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's the same kind of guy. He's Jerrion Ealy. He's pick your guy, a big time. Enrique Davis was a 5-star. You know what I mean? Like, Ole Miss has done this game before. Trey Martin, as far as a starting place, fewer better than DGG, but I would put Trey Martin up there. And whether he comes to Ole Miss or not, yeah, buddy, like, that kid's a dude. LSU would be getting a dude if he sticks. I mean, you make room for both of them. Eric's right. You make room for both DGG and Trey Martin if they want to come. That's the beauty of having 22 commitments in July when you only got, like, 3 spots left. They can add both of them if they wanted to. The question becomes, what do they add now? I think it's survival season. Are you getting blown up like crazy over there?
There's a lot of calls and texts coming into Alan Samuels today. As everybody knows, I'm not in the normal studio. We visited with Mason Reeves a little bit ago. Brian came by. David DeMarco, salespeople here, along with Greta
Morgan. DeMarco's the NA guy, man.
Man, it's crazy. Yeah, he is, New Albany guy. And it's crazy, like, literally the phone, and there's cell phones everywhere, and it's all blinking. So it's not a spot for someone that has a bit of an anxiety issue because there's stuff all around me. But anyway, as you can see, we're here at Alan Samuels, our title and presenting sponsor here on the Talk of Champions. It can be your home today for a brand new Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, or Ram. And it's been a very enthusiastic show. I've obviously been leaning heavy into, you know, Major League Baseball and what Ole Miss is doing. One thing that is interesting, too, it's just nonstop. One thing is interesting, it appears that the Pittsburgh Pirates are becoming the Mississippi Pirates with, you know, Gonzalez getting traded. Mm-hmm. They've already got Jake Mangum. I think they're
Raise the Johnny Roger. Ding. Raise it. Ding. I'm just saying. It's a perfect time to wrap it up. It's Talk of Champions. I'm Ben Garrett at Spirit Biddies, Brad Logan at Brad Logan TOC. Come on, try us out if you haven't already at the Ole Miss Spirit. OMSpirit.com, Flit of On 3. Brad posts there. I post there all the time. Zach, Jake, Chuck, we'd love to have you. We'll be back tomorrow. Don't know the time, but, you know, we're every day. You know where we are on Talk of Champions, and y'all always find us. Y'all always find us. No matter what, y'all always find us. So great to see so many familiar faces in the chat, and we'll see those same faces tomorrow. Thank you for joining us. Thanks to all our sponsors, Riverland Roofing, B&A Bank, Drew Moak of USA Benefits Group, Alan Samuels, Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Oxford, ding! Shed Hunger of Modern Women of America. Thanks to all y'all for all you do. And most of all, thank you to one Brad Logan for always being that man on the scene.
Also, a special thank you to Game Day Haircuts, the Hearn Law Firm, those folks that help keep us on the air. And we've got so many more people coming. We're working on deals, left and right. So we've got some special sponsors coming to you from Tampa. Everything's going to be sponsored there, so we'll give you more information as that situation arises.
My guy Sawyer, they're doing a screen co in Oxford, and we're going to do something from there. He's a New Albany guy. We're going to do a T-shirt collab together and, like, start doing giveaway stuff for Talking Champions merch. I'm going to get 40 back on here, Kentrell Lockett, because he's the one that originated by, you know, like, I don't know if who possibly remembers this, but the story we told about R.I.P. Phyllis. Like, we'll get R.I.P. Phyllis shirts made. We'll get Brad's hair is looking right. We'll get anything, number of things. You know, the ginger is not the hoe. Whatever y'all want to do, and we'll do partnership straight up with my guy Sawyer. He's the absolute best. So, yeah, don't tease us, Sawyer. Don't make promises you can't keep. Don't make promises you can't keep, because as Brad showed again today, where will he be tomorrow? Who knows? We know where he'll be next Monday, SEC Media Days. And by golly, we're going to blow the lid off of it, because he's going to get everybody and their mother on, because he's going to say 50 no's and a yes means yes. You understand? Hey, Lane, can you come on? No. But for real, can you come on? Yes. And then he'll come on and he'll do his thing. And we'll have a whole moment, because I would have that moment if three out of my four guys weren't going to Media Days in my place, you lucky sons of guns. Thank you, buddy. I'll see you soon.
See you, everybody.